Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And what I'd like to give you is what the world's richest man said were the dangers of materialism. The richest man in the world, more than any other person, his name was Solomon, and he had the world at his feet. People came from all over the world to see him, to pay homage to him, to give him gifts, because he was unsurpassed in education and knowledge and wealth. He kind of had it all. He was the wisest man and the richest man at the same time on earth. And it was all because of God's blessing. God gave him his wish for wisdom, and no one compared to Solomon before or after, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is wisdom incarnate. But among humans, of all born on this earth, Solomon was unstoppable. He was unbridled in his ability to pursue knowledge, but he was more unbridled in his pursuit of pleasure. If he wanted something, he could have it. When he set out to discover the best way to live, and he did it, and then he wrote about it. In fact, nobody compared to Solomon as a possessor of uncountable wealth. And I'll just read to you what the Bible says. If we take the time to count what it says in 2 Samuel, David the king left an inheritance to his son Solomon that the Bible says is 5,000 tons of gold. Wow, that's 160 million ounces of gold. Recently, gold went past 1,300. In fact, I think with all that's going on with the virus and everything, it's like at 1,500 or 1,600. But before the virus, it was at about 1,300. Do you know how much that is? That's $280 billion from Dad. That was just the gold. That wasn't the real estate. That wasn't the king and all the people and all the subjects. That was just his gold. And then it said that he gave him approximately, the silver, about $32 billion. That was a million talents. That's 60 million pounds of silver. So when Solomon writes a treatise on the danger of wealth, he knows what he's talking about. By the way, in the picture, that's, you all recognize that, right? That's Downton Abbey. That's Lord Carnarvon's great home out in the English countryside. But here's what Solomon says, starting in chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, verse 10. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, Ecclesiastes 5:10. Nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is vanity. Lesson number one, the more you have, the more you want. That's easily seen. One of the first billionaire we know of, his name was John D. Rockefeller. He had a famous saying. Someone said, what would you like, John Rockefeller? And he said, just one more dollar. He already had more dollars than he could count. He was the first billionaire. All he wanted is one more. God said it 3,000 years ago. The more you have, the more you want. Next slide, look at the second half of this verse. Nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is vanity. The more you have, the less you're satisfied. Have you ever noticed that people, the more they have, the more they look for something else because they don't even want what they have? There is this relationship, this reciprocity between how much you have and how much you want, and how much you have and how satisfied you are with what you have. You know, some of the happiest people in the world are the people who have nothing. How do I know that? Ask anybody that's gone on a missions trip. I've been in so many parts of the world where the people live with dirt floors, they live in hammocks, they live with nothing, and yet they seem to smile all day long. They don't have any electronic gizmos in their pockets, and they don't even have a watch on their arm, and they just are smiling and happy and go about their lives and hum and sing and smile. Now, not everybody's like that, but go on a missions trip sometime and see how grateful people are who have nothing. The more stuff we grasp onto, the less satisfied we become. The third lesson Solomon gives us is in verse 11. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. Wow. You know what that means? The more stuff we own, the more stuff everybody tries to get from us. Ask anybody that wins the lottery. I love reading the biographies of the people that win the super, max, whatever it's called, lottery. They have relatives they never knew existed. Suddenly, come out of the woodwork, and they want a piece. I've talked to doctors who say somebody always wants something from them because they assume they're a doctor, they're rich. The more you have, the more stuff everybody tries to get from you, including the government, and they want to take it away from you. Fourth lesson from Solomon, it's the second part of verse 11. So what profit is it to the owners except they see them with their eyes? What's it talking about? Well, the more stuff we pile up, the less we can really use it. Think about it. The next danger is the more you have, the less you get to use it. People can't even park in their garages anymore. You know what one of the funnest things to do is? Drive down the street and watch people coming home when they open their door to their garage. They can't get the car in there. Their garages are so full of stuff. They can't even see what stuff they have. They never get to use it. When the garage gets full, you go out and buy storage space to hold more stuff. And the more you have, the less you use it, and you store it, and you never see it again, and you don't even think about it except for once a month when you have to pay for the storage facility. Wow. What's really sad about the fact is that we hardly get to enjoy what we have because we store it and we're afraid someone's going to get it. We need a security system to protect it. The more stuff we pile up, the less of it we can really use.